Welcome everyone. Today I'm going to talk about the parallel computing, a little bit of overview from the parallel computing perspective in Visual Studio 2010. The demos I have taken from Daniel Moth's talk on parallel computing in PDC 2009. So all the demos which you'll be seeing here are from that talk. So thanks Daniel for teaching us the parallel computing so nicely, and that is a really extensive session. I would like you to please go through that session if you want to understand more on that. My talk is all about the various aspects of parallel computing. So let's jump into the demo. I have a machine here, so let me share that desktop. And I'm running this machine with 8 cores. So if I just open this task manager, this is how it looks like. So let me just minimize the size of it and make it always top so that it is always visible on top of all the windows. Now, I have the Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate Edition RC, and my code here is doing a little bit of memory intensive job. So I have got a tree class which has got created. It uses the tree object, .NET tree object, and it's got two elements, right and left, for each of the nodes. And then I have got an utility method. So if I pass some value here in depth and start, it creates the tree in the memory. So if I pass depth 3 and start 1, it'll create the tree like this in the memory so that I can go into each of the elements and do something which is kind of memory intensive and then come back. So basically I'm having a lot of iterations over here in the actual program. Now if I close this and go to mytask.cs, what I'm trying to do is the main method. It's a console application. I've got a tree created, and then I'm creating with depth 9 and start 1, so which will create 1023 number of elements in the memory. I've got a stopwatch to capture the time it is taking, and also the once it is over, shows up how much time it took. So let's go into the walktree method. So now if I jump into the walktree method, it's a recursive function. It's taking the tree as an object and then going through each of the element until it reaches at the end of the tree. So it is actually a recursive function. And then I'm also doing process item for each of the elements. So what is this process item? Process item is a method where typically, you will be doing some memory-intensive job like string manipulation, writing to file, or writing to database, which generally takes longer time. So I don't have anything. So what I have done is that I have done a thread.spinwet, so which basically is doing these many number of iterations. So that's it. Very simple. Now let me run my application here in the window and see how it looks like. Okay. So now you see that I have 8 core, but it's only using 12% to 20% of the whole compute power. That means it's not leveraging the full compute power of my machine, right? And then it's like a sequential programming. So it's not leveraging the power of my desktop, right? So to say. Let's wait and see how much time it takes. In the meantime, we'll open a notepad. So let me open the notepad. Okay, the time has come up. So it took around 37 seconds. So let me note down 37341. So this is the time it took. So I increase the font a little bit more so that it's clearly visible, and then leave it like that. So now my application took around 37 seconds. I have to make sure that I want to increase the performance of my application. How do I do that? I cannot have a less spin weight because that's what something which I have to do. So I cannot increase performance over here at this point in time. What I can do, I can make it thread enabled. So if I enable it for the thread, it'll definitely be increased. But do remember, when you use thread, for each of the individual thread you create, it allocates 1 MB of dedicated memory space. So I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do that is that I'll be using new API called task, which is available in .NET Framework 4.0. So what this task API is doing, so let's say if I use left and say task dot factory dot start new, and then say, let me just minimize it, and then say this, call the lambda expression. Now my left is created. Just copy it, paste it, and then my right is also created. So I've got two tasks, one is right, one is left. So what this task API will be doing, it'll be creating small piece of work and it will execute based on the free available memory compute power. Now let's wait for both of them to finish, just like thread. So you say task dot wait all, and then pass on left and right. So it'll wait till both of them are done. So now I'm kind of finished. Now let me execute the same application here in the screen and see how the difference. Notice here the compute power, it reaches the 100%. That means it is using full compute power, right? And it took around 5 seconds. Imagine that earlier it took around 37 seconds, now it took around 5 seconds. Now let me just note down that 57 5463. So this is the time it took. So that's a tremendous performance benefit you can always talk about. This is how your application can become faster and quicker. Even if you think about running the same application in one core machine, it'll still run fine without any trouble, but it'll take longer time because it doesn't have additional compute power. The moment you increase the number of CPU, without you changing the code, it'll run faster, and that's the flexibility of the parallel computing. This is what we call as fine-grained parallelism, where you implement the API on your own, but we do have declarative approaches as well, where it helps you to implement certain things, and we do have libraries available. So let's say we have the link. So we often use link in our application. A link is purely a memory-intensive task which you do, and then when you use link, you typically go ahead and do a lot of memory stuff. So what I'm trying to do is that I'm trying to get an array of these many numbers, one to this many numbers, and trying to find the prime number. This prime is kind of memory intensive method which I have written. So the more num the higher the number is, there will be more iterations. So for loop will be more because the upper bound is the mid of that. So imagine that it reaches here, so mid of it is just like that. So you can find that number of iteration to check whether it should return true or false. Now if I run this application to check how much time it is taking in the many core scenario, it is still not using the full compute power and took around 4 seconds. So let me just note down the time. So it took around 4074. So that this milliseconds it has taken. Now I just need to change the code. And remember that when we tell the declarative approach, we don't take away the power of link or the easiness of the link. So you can still be able to enjoy the link just by adding this as parallel. And now if you execute this method, it will take much lesser time. So let me just close this window. Close this and see how much time it is taking. Okay, now if we just execute, I had that earlier exe open. So if you just execute it, it'll take Less than 1 second. So that's the performance benefit you see. So if you just note it down 5 by 6, that's the time it took. So it's around half a second. So that's how it looks like. Now, if you just come back and then calculate the trend over here, because without task API, everything is sequential. So in an 8-core scenario, basically it is using one core, so it is taking around 40. So let's assume that 40. So it is taking 40. And in 8-core, it will be divided by 8, so it is 5. So that's how the calculation is like. So if you decrease the number of cores to 4, it'll probably take around 1 second time. So that's kind of assumption, provided the cores are available, not being used by the operating system. There are many, many other constraints over here as well. Now, I just would like to elaborate more on this part by adding few things over here. So what we can do at this point in time, we can just remove it and write a little bit of different kind of code. So how do we do that? You go ahead and hide it, and then I write the normal lambda expression. So if I say var q equals to array int dot dot where, and then say n as in is prime of n dot select, say n as in n. Now this will give me the list of numbers, but I do need to say dot to string because it is storing it to a string. Now then I get a list of string. Now if I just execute this code, it'll give you the same output. It'll take around 40 milliseconds. So it is taking something around 3 seconds. But notice here, when I go in right click and say go to definition, what it's doing? It is actually taking me to the actual method. So where dot select, it's coming from class enumerable. This was introduced in .NET Framework 3.5. So we are taking those classes from 3.5, even the where select everything. But the moment you say as parallel, what it does convert it to cast it to a different output from IEnumerable to IParallel. So the where goes into a totally different assembly. If you see the where, it is taking from parallel enumerable class, not from enumerable. So that's the casting happens. But being a user or developer, you don't get to see all these changes. The main important thing is that you are not losing out the benefit of using Link, the easiness of Link. Now, the last demo which I'm gonna talk about is the for loop. So enhancement in the iteration. So we often use a lot of memory intensive iteration for loop or for each loop are few of them. So let's say yes. Come back to for loop and see how it looks like. Now, if I go ahead and see that this is same application using stopwatch and then iterating through all the pictures available in the public folder. These are all sample pictures from Win7. And then for each of the pictures, I'm doing some memory intensive job, which is nothing but the simulate processing. The simulate processing is again spin weight of these many times. And it's also taking the threads. So now if I execute this code and see the memory usage here, it is again not taking the full compute power. Right? So let me just increase it. So see, there is the managed thread ID is always one because it's using one single core every time and using the same worker process. And the time it'll be taking is much, much higher than the power of my computer. So it took around 22 seconds. So 22.897. Okay, you will find the same performance even in the single core machine. Now I'd like to just change this code a bit more to have a different or make it faster. Again, I cannot increase the performance for the simulate processing. I cannot decrease the spin weight. So let's do something over here. Now let me just copy it and then write it in a different way. Now This gives us the declarative approach gives us a lot of inbuilt classes. One of them is parallel. So this is a static class, stays under system.threading.task namespace. Now if you choose for each and then say array int, which is your source, and then use the lambda expression here and say this, now this becomes parallel for each, right, which will be executed over across the multiple cores. Now let's execute this application and see the performance. So now it is using different managed thread ID and jumping one at a time, and see at one point in time all the cores have used almost reached almost its full capacity. That's when it used the free space. So I'm just decreasing, and this is note of the time. It took around 2970, almost 2 seconds. So 1/10 of the time it took earlier, right? It's a huge performance. Hope you will try to explore more, because these are the things probably you look for in the threading world. To me, more than threading, Task is fantastic API and has got a lot of things to offer. How do you cancel it? How you make sure that your things are done properly. So thank you so much. Thanks for joining this talk.